Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one.
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
It's
your cool hill man.
The Greg Hill Show.
We're up and at it, Greg. Don't worry about that.
Tick, tick, boom.
Starring the biggest foodie on the planet.
To me, food is the most important thing.
White bread is succulent.
Greg Hill.
There was one fantastic Twitcher who dumped him out.
Yeah.
I felt like I was back in the AAF days. Like it was the indoor beach party all over again.
What's a dump out?
When they were out.
The boobs.
Remember they were out? They were out.
A flash, if you will.
My lord, it was fantastic.
Featuring the parlay playboy himself.
This tickles my fanny. Does that math make math? I did not know that.
Wiggy.
Yeah, only because he's a dink, and that's why people care.
Well, do you want a bunch of dinks in your clubhouse?
Well, if they're hitting. Give me a bunch of dinks that can hit.
Joined by Boston's number one linguist.
Criminal mischief and arson
have become this kind of tangent.
Pete Buttigieg.
Courtney Cox.
I feel off today.
I am.
I know. Thank you. My anxiety is not high enough.
All right.
Thank you for pointing it out.
We embrace it. We don't care.
Yeah. I'll just think about it the rest of the day. Thank you.
And accompanied by two big brains behind the glass.
Don't put salmonella with your yams.
I'm on Shime Island.
Talk to me, Daddy.
You are both morons.
Curtis and Shime.
$1,500 is
correction,
so...
his father's financial
situation. Yes. Right. But
I love Sacco's shirt, by the way. Very handsome.
What was the shirt?
Or the shirt.
I clicked on it because it looked so handsome. And it was $300.
It was what?
You posted it! I didn't do any due diligence.
I posted it because somebody asked for the link.
Now.
Let's get down to business.
It's time to party!
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Good morning.
Hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbors!
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. Got my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill.
Show.
Greg Hill. Show. All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go!
Tick, tick, boom.
What it do?
How you doing, Wiggy?
Man, I'm good. I'm living life. Ain't complaining.
I somehow got sucked into giving a considerable amount of my evening to that Sox game.
Yeah. It ended like after 11, so if you rolled the whole thing out, you gave a lot of time to that game.
Yeah, I mean, I was, I think the Yankee series dragged me back in, Curtis. I was out.
Right.
And then winning that series dragged me back in. And they were in it last night. Mm-hmm. They were in it to win it last night, but just could not get it done.
Yeah.
The reason you were dragged in was not the Yankees. It was Roman Anthony.
It may have been Roman Anthony. Maybe Roman Anthony makes his major league debut for the Red Sox last night. In fact, the big three all on the field with the big ball club for the first time ever last night at Fenway Park. So. Yeah. That is exciting when it comes to the future.
He's still young, you know. I mean, his first game out, you could tell the nerves got to him. He made that little error, and he's still got to get a feel for things. I mean, at least that's what Lou was saying. I think when you look at that game, Lou kept talking about it. Bayo did a good job, but your bullpen falls apart, and if you're gonna have to win games like 11-10. You know, you end up scoring what? What'd you score? 8 runs in that game?
Yeah.
And if you can't win that game like that?
Yeah, they still, I think, were 4-26 when there are runners in scoring position.
Yep.
So, you got to win these games.
Yeah.
Like, time is running out.
Yeah.
Although they're competitive and they're in it, and
that's about all you get.
competitive and they're in it? What? Against the Rays? What's their payroll?
Well, I mean, the Rays, they're a wild card team right now if the season was to end today.
Curtis, right. I'm trying to be positive.
Okay. What's there to be positive about today?
Well,
isn't it the manager's job as well to manage a bullpen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I would give Cora an F this year. F. It's awesome that. But did anybody else have the feeling of like, why today? Because the people who said they're not bringing him up, it's because contract. Well, that's not the case. And they had actually just won consecutive games against the Yankees, so it was like the first time in a while.
I have the answer. It was the vibe. The vibe was better.
Nice car, by the way, that kid has.
He does have a nice car.
Very, very nice.
He does. And he knows where the keys are, which is important,
right.
Unlike Marcelo Meyer.
And it had gas.
What's he got, a BMW?
I think that might have been a Porsche.
Yeah, I don't think that was a BMW.
What was it, Curtis? Do you know what it was? It's a nice-looking ride.
I don't know what the car was. It looked very handsome.
But don't you think that they called him up for last night because they wanted it at home, everything else around that? Or you're saying, like, why didn't they call him up before at home? No, Wiggy's right. It's a BMW, definitely.
That's a BMW. That's an X6.
I'm just wondering why yesterday.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't – it felt like they were going to wait until Baseball Brett – what a weekend for Baseball Brett. But Baseball Brett said it was going to be 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, we'll take it, I guess, right? We've been asking for it.
It was awesome. I was honestly thinking of going over to the game, and then it was gross out.
I mean, we've been asking for it, so you got him up, and now let's see what he can do. And you play him, you probably rotate him with Willie Abreu in the outfield.
Kevin Millar was on MLB Network last night saying that he smells greatness out of Roman Anthony.
Roman Anthony.
Yep.
Okay. Well, the Red Sox lose in extra innings, and you can talk about that all morning long with us and all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Would you like to go directly to Amsterdam for a phone call on the Red Sox this morning?
All right, Red Light District?
Of all places. Probably, afternoon there, I would guess. Alan?
Yes, I am in Amsterdam. I suffered until 3:48 a.m.
Wow.
Watching that game. And they brought in a reliever with an ERA of 7 when the game was tied. And I had a meltdown and was screaming at the TV at 4 a.m., probably disturbing my hotel neighbors.
Yeah.
And I can't take it anymore. So I'm moving on to preseason football. Mm. I'm ready for that. So
okay.
Curtis stole my thunder. The bullpen management and the bullpen themselves are just horrible. And, I cannot stay up another night till 4 a.m. and watch another Red Sox game. So I'm done.
Oh, all right.
Well, I guess the question I would ask Cora is Chapman, can he only go one inning? Like, is that all he's good for?
Chaim Bloom essentially said that on this show a couple weeks ago.
Breslow,
last week.
Craig Breslow said that on this show.
All right.
Same guy. Both Yaleys, Curtis.
Yeah, thought partners.
But he said they get very concerned about anything. That's what he has done his whole career.
Okay, so he's just a one-inning guy.
He's a one-inning guy.
Yeah. I mean, Kelly got squeezed a little bit on a couple of balls that could have been strikes that maybe I don't know if it makes the difference, but you get in that position there. I love the small ball, but they don't want to play it, man. They don't want to play the small ball.
Are we going to have a Wiggy apology
for
infield in Mayer on the edge of the grass? Ball gets by him.
Oh, by the way, is it too early for the Hardo text of the morning, Curtis?
No, it's never too early.
All right, 781 text. Not a single player on the field for the Sox last night knows what the infield fly rule is. And that's on your guy, Alex Cora, Greg.
Mm.
Well, first of all, Alex Cora he's not necessarily my guy. Who doesn't know what the infield fly rule is and all the various variations thereof,
Curtis? Wait, did Wiggy send that to you?
Did what?
Did Wiggy send that to you?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, you said a hard-o text of the day. Oh, he was doing some hard-o moves when Breslow was on last week. I didn't know if Wiggy had sent you that text.
Yeah, I just asked some baseball, you know, getting deep into the baseball weeds.
Wiggy does the infield high rule.
Yeah. Well, the problem was you can't call off the catcher late when, as an all-city catcher, the catcher, I think, in that position is making a play on the baseball. You're talking about the pop-up, and Meyer calls him off way late, and I think that's kind of what, you know,
He calls him off. He doesn't make the catch.
Yeah.
And then guys are advancing. I don't think either team knew the particulars of the infield fly rule last night. But I don't know that that's on Alex Cora. I would assume that's on your Little League coach. Or at least a coach at some point that coached you in minor league baseball, I would say.
And no big deal. It wasn't that long of a review. But you know how the NFL will, like, quickly, immediately, they have some note. The head ref has an earpiece, and he gets note from the NFL that says, it was actually incomplete. Mm-hmm. Where yesterday, the runner at first was called safe and then out to Connor Wong. Ken was in our text thread going nuts about the RBI that wasn't. It was immediately clear that he was out. Like, you could just, instead of the 5-minute delay, you could just say, okay, he's out. Don't you think? Like, instead of having to go over and then go to New York. I mean, because we all saw it, the first replay you see.
It should just come straight down from up top is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, Connor Wong almost had an RBI last
year. He almost did.
He technically drove in a run, but doesn't get credit for the RBI.
That he did. Yeah.
So in 20 years, when baseball fans are asked about Mookie Betts, and you say it was for Connor Wong, Jeter Downs, and Alex Verdugo, what do you think people will say?
That was a dumb trade. What the hell were they thinking? Why would you get rid of a guy like that? Why wouldn't you just pay him? Pay him the extra $50
million. The worst trade in Boston sports history. Yeah. The worst trade I've ever seen.
But I don't know, you know, who the hell knows? You can never tell with these players. You know, listening to Mookie Betts, did he really want to stay here? You know, it's like he said he did, but who the hell knows, you know? I don't know. I don't know if he necessarily did.
Yeah, but you could make the argument that prior to the make good of the number one overall pick, that the Luka trade was actually better for the Mavs than that trade was for the Red Sox. Like, the worst trade in NBA history at the time, Luka.
Well, in Luka's trade, you actually got a real player and Anthony Davis. So
right. The Red Sox made a worse deal.
I mean, you ultimately moved on from Mookie Betts, and you didn't get a player of close to his caliber back.
Right. Yeah,
you got a guy that showed up late high.
Well, a loss for the Red Sox, and we will talk about that, and perhaps it will be addressed when we get to Leeds in about 10 minutes. Alex Cora upset post-game with regard to a call or two, and I believe we will hear what Alex Cora had to say momentarily when we get to Trending with Courtney. And it is miserable out this morning. Curtis, can we open up the window world, the Boston weather window, early this morning? Is that okay?
Certainly.
Okay. Take a look outside, if you could. Is it going to rain all day again for the 90th day in a row?
We're going to have showers midday. It's gross. It's 58 degrees. This afternoon, after you get around 2, it'll just be partly cloudy in the upper 60s, but it's going to be moist between 10 and 2 p.m. today.
All I care about is Thursday and Friday, road show on the Cape. How are we looking for both of those days?
Thursday is the winner of the week. Okay. It's going to be absolutely gorgeous. Sunshine, 70 degrees. Friday, we're going to be dry.
Okay, good.
In the morning, but it's going to be a real feel of about 55 during the show. So a little cooler, but doesn't appear to be rain on Friday. And Friday afternoon for the Greg Hill Foundation event, not Saturday, on Friday, 2 o'clock at the Pearl in Wellfleet, should be partly cloudy, some sun coming through in the mid-60s.
Okay, and then rain again Saturday for the 13th Saturday in a freaking row, correct?
Saturdays rain for again. The boys.
Another weekend ruined. Rain again. Mm-hmm. So just heads up on that.
And the plans you haven't made for Father's Day look good.
Stop. All right. Lot to get to. Oh, by the way, Window World of Boston. You can get a full house of windows for $99 a month. And if you need siding, they have siding. If you need exterior doors, they have exterior doors. Anything at all that you need to make that castle of yours even more beautiful than it already is, you will find it at windowworldofboston.com. That's windowworldofboston.com. Leeds in about 10 minutes. They said it at 7:20 this morning. That's a quick back and forth on everything they said yesterday. And we will certainly go over what Roman Anthony said about his major league debut with the Boston Red Sox last night. Also, what Mike Vrabel said after day one down there. Day one of only two. Speaking of work-life balance, Mike Vrabel says forget about it on Wednesday. Fellas, take a day off.
Yeah.
So they're that good, Wiggy.
Yeah. I feel like Mayo did that last year.
Yep, he did.
They have nothing to work on.
He got torched.
Didn't he take him to a movie or something like that? And they were,
I think they ran the hill. They were running the hills on that day.
He got destroyed.
All right, so all of that coming up during They
that
Said
is
It.
So true.
The news with Courtney at 7:45 this morning. I have the sad obligation of delivering an audio eulogy at some point this morning, and that is
for the Red Sox.
No, it is for the great Sly Stone from Sly and the Family Stone. Wiggy,
Was I the only one that thought, "Holy crap, Sylvester Stallone died"? When Wiggy sent that, I was panicking.
But you talk about somebody. Who is an incredible influence on music, Wiggy.
Yeah.
Multiple genres.
Yeah.
Soul, funk.
Yep.
R&B.
Yep.
Psychedelic music.
Yeah.
The man was a genius.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the drugs...
Yeah.
The drugs got him.
Yeah, they catch up to you at the end.
I will do my best to deliver.
It's when music was music. And that told you the 70s, I feel like, is the best era of music.
As I was saying when you interjected,
I
will do my best to deliver an audio eulogy at some point.
All right.
Hill Notes at 9:20. So leave one of those now on the Odyssey app on any topic. And here is Courtney with what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Red Sox dropped the first of their series with the Rays in extra innings, 10-8, the final at Fenway. It was the day Sox fans were waiting for. Roman Anthony got the call up where he went 0-for-4 with a strikeout, a walk, an RBI ground out, and a tough error in the top of the fifth in 11 innings. Brian Baio got the start. He went 6 1/3 where he gave up 3 runs on 7 hits while striking out 4. And there were some questions about a third strikeout call against Romy Gonzalez in the 11th. Alex Cora talked about that after the loss.
We just didn't agree with the consistency.
It was a ball. That pitch was a ball. It was down. He was really good, actually, during the day, and it was down.
I ain't lying about that one. Because the inning before, Kelly had 2 close pitches, and the umpire called them balls. And then the Gonzalez one was low, and he called it a strike. And that's what even Lou was talking about it on the broadcast. Got to be consistent.
Another one with the Rays tonight, 7:10 first pitch, with Lucas Giolito taking the mound. Oh, I thought you were going to do it. Brooksy joining Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh.
Lucas Giolito.
I choose you! Join Christian Arcan at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Last night, the Panthers took Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final, 6-1 the final, with our guy Brad Marchand adding another goal to his resume. Game 4, so Florida is up 2-1. Game 4 is Thursday in Florida.
I mean, I was flipping back and forth. Huge second period for the Panthers last night.
And Reinhardt had, what, 2 goals? That breakaway was nice.
Yes, the breakaway was great. The Brad Marchand, who you said farewell to, is the oldest player in NHL history to score a goal in the first 3 games of the Stanley Cup Final at the ripe old age of 37. So... way to go, Brad Marchand.
Yeah, the guy still
so
got
good
it.
For them.
The Pats kicked off mandatory minicamp yesterday, and all reports out about the offense are pretty good. Crisp, productive, those are the two big words I'm seeing.
All right.
We're going to hear from practice during They Said It this morning. One more practice today since tomorrow's practice has been canceled. And Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families here in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner, upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF. That's what's trending. We've got the leads coming up next.
couple informative points of clarification during the break on the Subaru of New England text line. 617 text. Roman Anthony, or the Roman Emperor, as he should be called, was driving a matte black Mercedes AMG.
Oh, okay.
So that was the sweet ride that he brought with him from Worcester to Fenway Park last night for his Major League Baseball debut. And a know-it-all Ned in the Twitch chat said, Greg is confused. Sly Stone died of COPD. Yes, I know the cause of death. I'm about to do an audio eulogy. I said the man who was a transformative musical genius had his career ended too soon because of drugs. The man dominated, Sly and the Family Stone dominated the 1970s. And then he had to, unfortunately, retire and stop playing music.
All right.
In the 80s, okay. Early 80s. And then at one point was the great Sly Stone was living in his own vehicle on the streets of San Francisco, if I remember correctly.
Oh, that's like Worm.
Yes, Curtis. Right. So anyway, audio eulogy at some point for the great Sly Stone of Sly and the Family Stone. This is Dave from Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
What's
up? I just want to make a couple comments on the hockey game last night. It's so good to see Marchand get that first goal, and I'm happy for him. And again, another bad decision by an executive in Boston. But and the third period is what bothered me. I mean, the Edmonton Oilers were a bunch of clowns. They were cross-checking in the back of the legs of the Florida players. Now, if you want to fight, square somebody up, you know, face to face. These guys are a bunch of cowards. How many times do you have to see sticks being? I mean, they're like assaulting him. You could have seriously hurt somebody with a stick in the back or the back of the leg. They got to do something about that.
Yeah, no, it was kind of chippy, and it started actually in the, once those guys went up 4-1 or whatever it was in the second period, they were clearly trying to draw penalties, and then there was full Donnybrook in the third period. But
nobody fights no more.
That's all you saw.
They were fighting last night.
Well, I mean, like, he's talking about, like, a lot of this, like, the stick and the face wash. And Milbury's talked about it. Like, the days of the goon being out there and policing the ice. I mean, those days are long gone. Nowadays, you know.
No, I mean, you're not going to have – I mean, it's the playoffs anyway. So you're going to be – there are guys that are going to be super selective about it. But
Marshawn looks really happy, too.
I mean – Ken brought it up during the show on Saturday when I joined you two. Is he going to bring the cup back to Boston, Curtis?
I think he should bring it to Keith's house.
I doubt that.
He does.
No, I doubt. I highly doubt
I
that.
I bet he does.
Why?
His wife's from here. His kids like go to school here.
I don't think he would do it Ray Bork style at City Hall Plaza, but maybe he will choose to have he gets his day with the cup. Uh-huh. Maybe he will choose the north end of Boston or wherever he is currently living.
Right.
And maybe not Canada. I don't know.
Well, I think it helps to have less carbs in his diet these days. He cut out pasta.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I doubt he brings, because remember he said that he was like, I don't expect to be traded. Like, you know, I'm not going anywhere. And I think he probably looks at the organization with like, you know, I gave you all this blood, sweat, and tears for how many years, and then you just deal me? I don't know if he comes back with the cup. Bork was a little bit more sentimental. I said Ray Bork was a little bit more sentimental.
Yeah he was. Are we going to get to that audio during they said it about the alleged unfair advantage for Florida teams when it comes to sports?
Oh, yes. We can definitely get to that.
Okay. That's an interesting take. So we'll get to that during They Said It, which is coming up at 7:20. You can not only listen to this show, but you can watch it. So good morning and hello to those who are already up early and watching this show on YouTube or on Twitch. And this show is presented every day on Twitch by Springer's Jewelers. And Father's Day is Sunday. Don't leave Dad in the dust. There's nothing better than a beautiful watch. I will tell you that every man would love to have a beautiful timepiece, and you can get one for Dad and say thank you. The man got up early. He drove you to hockey practice. He drove you to football practice. He went and worked a couple jobs. He didn't ask for anything in return. Just wanted to every once in a while be able to watch what he wanted to watch on television. Mm-hmm. And if you could, a nice gift for Dad would make his year. So you can go see Springer's Jewelers in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and shop the best inventory and the best prices in all of New England. Shime, let's get to today's leads.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for the lead.
Who is it?
That would be MGMT with Electric Feel in honor of Roman Anthony, as that's his walk-up song.
Oh, right.
MGMT?
MGMT, yes.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Shime.
You're welcome.
Leads this morning brought to you by Subaru. It is going to be a Subaru summer. Find your 2025 Subaru at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Hello, Shime.
Hey, Greg. Good morning. So yesterday, an NFL veteran was released. That would be Jaire Alexander, cornerback, formerly of the Green Bay Packers. I think the Patriots should go take a look. I know it's not a wide receiver. I know it's not necessarily a weapon on offense, but right now it seems like your defense is your strength. It doesn't hurt to always add another guy. I think you're going to be able to get him at a discounted price because he's only played 7 games in the last 2 seasons due to injuries and such. So I think this is an opportunity for you to bring in another veteran corner, add to that already strong corner room with a guy like Christian Gonzalez and Carlton Davis, and even guys like Marcus Jones, and really kind of solidify that back half of the defense, knowing how dominant your front four could be this year. If you can add another veteran cornerback, I think that helps this football team. I think it's worth going to take a look, see what the price tag is, and maybe bring him in.
Okay, Shime. Speaking of wide receivers and the New England Patriots, it was kind of nice to know that Chris Godwin did confirm, apparently, yesterday or the day before, that they offered him $30 million a year.
Right.
And he said no. So
yeah, he likes Florida, no state tax.
Sounds like they were willing to spend, mm-hmm. the New England Patriots.
Yeah. I still feel like there's some wide receivers that are available that they can go out and get. I think Amari Cooper's still available. Is Keenan Allen still available?
I believe so.
Yeah, so, I mean, it could be another guy that they could bring in just to roll the dice on.
On that topic, though, then why didn't they trade for DK Metcalf? Like if you really wanted him, why
they didn't want to pay the $30 million price tag?
Oh, wait, but I thought they were offering $30 million to a less talented receiver in Godwin.
Yeah, I don't get that one.
I think it's beneficial to Godwin to tell everybody that he chose to take less money to remain in Florida as opposed to anything else.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think it's like, you know, I think he was offered more money here and he chose to play there. But the Patriots had ample opportunities to sign a talented receiver or trade for one.
Yeah, they could have. You're right. DK Metcalf, even George Pickens.
Right.
And Dallas hasn't even given George Pickens a new deal. But you could have, you know, if George Pickens is here, he's a better option than Steph Diggs, who's coming off knee injury, who's, you know, 31 years old. Pickens is, what, 25 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I think there was a weather issue with DK Metcalf, wasn't there? He doesn't like the rain.
It's at Pittsburgh. Like, it's not that much better.
Pittsburgh is like hell.
Well, maybe it was the traffic.
Yeah.
It doesn't like the traffic. I don't know.
I mean, at least he's close to the ocean here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
you're in the middle of nowhere.
That is true. He is out in the middle of nowhere.
Maybe it's the clam chowder. It doesn't like the clam chowder here.
What does Pittsburgh have?
I think they have like kielbasa or
kielbasa.
Something.
They have a lot of steel production.
Primanti Brothers.
Different types of beer.
Yeah, they have a lot of steel production.
Yeah, it don't look like he drank much beer.
And if you're traded here, you don't have a choice. That's why you trade for someone. Like Kevin Garnett didn't want to come here, but you traded for him.
Yeah, and then you give him the deal because he ended up getting a new deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So
right.
Then you spend that money on a young receiver who him and Drake May could build a relationship for several years.
Okay. Your guy Drake apparently looked pretty good yesterday, Shime.
Yeah, they said he looked crisp, but again, like this is not, as I think Vrabel in his press conference even put it, this is just like passing camp. Like it's not even actual full-on physical football yet, so I will hold my opinions to myself until we get actually padded practices and legitimate competition.
Okay. Thank you, Shime. Curtis, good morning.
I would like 30 minutes of my life back. I read the single worst story ever written about anything yesterday in The Athletic by a guy named Brandon Marks, who I hope has an awful day. 4,000 words about Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick, where nothing was new. It begins with a meeting of Bill Belichick at the door of one of Jordan Hudson's many real estate properties. And then they say, we'll get back to that. Then they go on and on about everything we've already known about this girl, that she worked in P-Town, her parents own a sex shop, she's always dated older guys, and she's got a vast real estate portfolio. It ends with Bill Belichick politely saying, I have nothing to say, shutting the door. We have reached the moment of jumping the shark on this story. Until they get married, have a child, or he gets fired by North Carolina, I think, finally and at last, we are done writing stories. There is nothing new to... I literally was like, well, there has to be something here. It's this long feature.
Right.
He spent 34 days driving 4,000 miles all over the country, and he got nothing other than that Bill Belichick has a Mercedes with nice golf clubs.
Oh.
God love him.
Now, what was Bill doing at the real estate office? Answering phones or hanging photos? Or like, what does he have to do for her at the real estate office?
It was Hawaiian shirt day.
Okay.
But
the poor man. Like, I mean, she says jump and the guy leaps.
Yeah.
I mean, and I get it. Here come the text messages. Well, you're throwing out everything you own because of DMs.
What?
Listen, I want to clean things out. I have too much stuff.
Yep.
I'm doing that of my own accord.
Right. Right.
But
no woman is telling you anything.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Definitely not.
No woman ever tells a man what to do when that man does it.
Yep.
And I would also just say the big nugget as well is that thanks to a Freedom of Information Act request, they can get emails from North Carolina. And the only, quote, pull-out news of the story was that there was an alum that was frustrated with the behavior of Bill Belichick.
Oh.
I am certain that BC, UMass, every school can find an email from an alum that's complaining about something. Mm. Like, that's hardly newsworthy.
Right.
Did you get every email written by alums about the hiring? My guess is more were positive than were negative.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an awful story, and I'm sorry that I subjected you to hearing about it.
What does that team have to do this season?
Mm-hmm.
To justify Bill's legacy, if anything. Like, I mean...
Well, they won
better
what?
Than last year?
Yeah, they won.
That's it. That's all he has to do is be better than last year.
But they went 7 or 8 games last year.
They weren't bad last year.
No, because they played in the bowl at Fenway against... was it BC who played in that?
No.
They played in the Wasabi Bowl.
Yeah, so...
They played against UConn.
Oh, UConn.
And they got smushed.
I think UNC fans are thinking it's ACC championship or bust type deal. Because Bill is the new head coach.
I mean, if Bill's anywhere near what they were last year, that's a pretty embarrassing thing, no?
They were 6-7 last year.
6-7 last year.
The greatest coach in the history of sports arrives and he goes 8-5? I mean, what's that?
Yeah,
I mean, that's an improvement over 1 year's time period from a team that was 500.
Right, like, so you're now 8-5?
Yeah, I mean, that's a step in the right direction. Like, that's not, look, he's not going to be in the national championship in year one.
How long was Dion at Colorado before things turned around?
1 year, because his first year
they were 3-10.
Yeah, right. They won maybe 4 games his first year.
Yeah, so if Bill goes 8-5 his first year and then is winning 12 games in his second year, that's pretty good. You would absolutely take that as a UNC football fan.
And Greg, I'm sorry. I'm being ridiculed for how long it took me to read the story. Certain people could read it in 5 minutes, so. I'm sorry. I will work. I will get hooked on phonics, and I'll restart it and time myself.
So, Curtis, are you suggesting that we've reached the tipping point on the Bill and Jordan relationship and time to just play football?
Play football, see how it goes. There's like, unless, obviously, if there's something newsworthy, but this pursuit of something, there's not... Jordan Hudson is not as interesting as everybody wants her to be. Like, she's a young girl who's... made a great decision in who she's with and has used it to make money for herself. God bless her.
Yep. It won't pick back up until football season. If say UNC starts off and they're 0-4, then I think it'll go back to, was Bill focused enough during the off season to get this team right, or was he too focused on his
or if she's there on the headsets. That will be an issue. All right. Well, we will get to more leads coming up next. Gotta tell you, Shime, I was reluctant to give Courtney the golf cart aux up in Maine on Thursday, but she played that song from Role Model.
Yes.
Is that the name of the band?
That's the name of the guy. He's a singer from Cape Elizabeth.
I may designate that the song of the summer. I haven't chosen a song of the summer yet.
Can we keep judging?
Yeah.
What? It's very, you got to listen to the entire thing. It gets very good. And people love it. It's big on TikTok right now. But he's a main guy like you, Greg.
Okay. All right. Well, I like it. Sounded good.
Let's keep looking.
Keep searching
for the summer banger.
Well, Cardi B has one coming.
I mean, right now it's Glorilla type of.
I happen to like it. So it might be my song of the summer.
Yeah, it could be your song of the summer. Won't be mine.
All right. Yeah. Well,
not great.
You didn't like it either, Curtis?
No, I'm with my man Wiggs.
You guys are frauds. You got to listen to the whole thing.
Curtis or somebody. Oh, Curtis brought up Boston College on the Subaru of New England text line. A Bill O'Brien sighting this morning. He is apparently walking around the reservoir over there in Chestnut Hill. I hope he's listening to the radio show.
Oh, good morning, Bill.
Getting those steps in.
I would hope he's on the Odyssey app or on Spotify or whatever. Mm-hmm. And listening to this radio program right now. Good morning. Are we going to have Bill O'Brien again this year? I thought that was great last year.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Okay.
A big year for him this year.
Mm-hmm.
Big year. Don't they got that kid from Alabama, the quarterback?
Yeah. Mac Jones?
No. No, there's another kid, but big year for them.
Yes.
Okay. Well, good morning and hello.
What if BC has more wins than UNC?
That would be interesting. Definitely interesting.
All right. I'm pulling for UMass. I see UMass with about 9, so that could have more wins than UNC.
I'm pulling for the Wiggins boys.
I want a lot of
time for those guys.
He got opportunity. But I'm with Curtis, though. He had said it. Like, I don't think 8 wins for UNC does it for Bill Belichick.
No chance. I'm telling you, UNC fans are expecting to go to the ACC championship.
Okay.
That is what they want.
Right.
That is what they deserve in their mind, getting Bill Belichick.
Well, then that means you're going, you know, 7-1 in the conference. So you're looking at, you know, 10, 11 wins.
Yep.
So I'm with Curtis because I think in college or just the college football analysts are going to say, wait a second, this is the greatest football coach of all time, any level, to only be able to get 8 wins out of UNC.
Well, there are many like Curtis who believe that he is doing all of this to get back to the NFL, so he better be successful if that's what he's trying to do.
Well, I think it's the entire point. Like, I feel like if the only reason he's there is to keep himself in the news coaching and to show that he can connect to the demographic that he would be coaching as a mid-70-year-old. So if they go 8-5, he's not getting an NFL job.
No, they got to be legit in the playoff hunt. He's got to legit have this team, you know, 10-1, where they're a legitimate playoff team. They're playing potentially for the ACC championship, because I think that's what people are expecting from, you know, the greatest coach of all time.
Okay. We have another road show this week. We will be on the Cape in Wellfleet on Friday morning at the Beachcomber, where we have been since we started road shows 4 years ago.
Goated.
Absolutely goated. Pre-game Thursday night at the Sea Dog in South Yarmouth. So we will see you there at about 7, I would guess, on Thursday night. Road show number 5 during the 4th road show season, and all of the road shows are presented by Miller Lite. It is Miller time, New England. See you on Thursday. See you on Friday. And then see you Friday afternoon for Happy Hour, our first official fundraiser on the Cape for the Greg Hill Foundation. It's happening at the Pearl in Wellfleet. Great band, Full Moon Somewhere, playing the hits, and an open raw bar. And tickets are just $50. And you get open raw bar. I think you get a drink, and you get great music. And it is 2-5 on the Cape on Friday. So get tickets when you go to thegreghillfoundation.org, because we're going to sell this baby out, I believe, thanks to the incredible support that the Cape always gives to this radio show. Courtney, good morning. Hello.
Good morning, everybody. Quick little lead for me because all I was told was, oh, Stephon Diggs, bad guy, bad locker room guy, teammates probably pissed that he's missing some OTAs, mm-hmm. out on a boat with Cardi B slapping asses. Gosh, what's going on? Drake May spoke about Stephon Diggs, his new teammate, yesterday, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, he seems like, you know, awesome teammate. He's my next door to my locker mate, so he's, you know, one down from beside me. You know, we talk all the time. He's a veteran in this league. He's made a lot of plays, played in a lot of big time games. So just an awesome voice for the receiver room, for this offense, playing some playoff games. He's had some big games, and I think, you know, once he kind of recovers and he's getting back out there, I'm looking forward to, you know, be able to, you know, throw him food footballs, and it's always good having, you know, a guy like that on your team.
Have you seen Stephon's work ethic in action?
Yeah, he comes in here, you know, lifting, you know, in the meetings, asking questions, you know, asking me after plays, hey, what should I have done there? Hey, you know, in times past, I've done this when the guy's playing this leverage, stuff like that. So he's seen a lot of different things, played a long time in this league. So it's been great for me to be able to, you know, veteran receiver, him and Mac, and, you know, Kendrick Bourne. You got, you know, three really, not really old heads, but kind of old heads in there, you know, in their 30s. So it's been awesome for us to, you know, find, you know, how they lead the room and help this offense.
Long story short, leads the room. No one cares what he did on a boat in Miami. No. They only care about the production that he is going to give this season and being a leader. Thank you.
Have you ever seen him uncontrollably grinding his teeth?
Are his eyes wide open?
Okay, so sounds like we're in business down there.
We are in business.
Okay. All right. Well, Mike Vrabel must be happy with the fellas if he's giving them a day off.
Yes.
So, one day today, and then then we're on to July.
Yeah.
That is it. Okay. Give those boys a day off. Go watch a movie or go paintballing or do some type of team activity.
Okay. We will get to the rest of this morning's leads coming right up next.